In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today's gospel, which we just heard read to us, is one of the most important stories in the entire Bible. And it's one that we can tell the importance of it because it's one of the few stories. There's very few stories that are told in all four of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's the birth of Christ, there's the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ, and then this story, this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. All the other miracles that our Lord did, of all of them, this is the only one that's mentioned in all the Gospels, which tells us that there must be something really, really important about this Gospel. And in addition to being one of the only one that's mentioned, it's a lot of times what a lot of people can, for me personally, as I've told you guys before, it's one of my favorite Gospels, or one of my favorite readings in the entire Gospel, because of many reasons. And every time we look at this gospel, our Lord fed 5,000 men and women and children with just two pieces of fish and five pieces of bread. The thing that we usually love about, the thing that's unique about this miracle is the bigness of the miracle, right? Lots of times when our Lord did miracles, he did things individually, right? So there was one blind man, and he healed that blind man. There was one man dead, Lazarus, he raised that man. There was one widow whose son needed to be raised, he raised that one. His miracles were usually individual. But this is a unique one, and this is a group one. This is a magnificent miracle, which is done for thousands upon thousands. You see, with the other miracles, there's some kind of room for questioning. Well, maybe Lazarus and him they made a deal, and Lazarus was just faking it. Or maybe that guy really wasn't blind. Or maybe this and that. But this miracle is different. Because every single person who was there saw that there was no food and their belly was hungry, and they walked away not just guessing did a miracle take place, but they knew certainly well there was a great miracle that happened today. It's the bigness, okay, of this miracle that makes it kind of outstanding and kind of shines forth amongst all the gospels. But you know what? When you think about it, does the bigness really impress us? Should it impress us? Should we really care whether he fed one person or 5,000 or 10,000? Does this really show the Lord's power? If this is the only way that you know the Lord's power, what about creation? Wasn't creation pretty difficult? Wouldn't it be hard enough just to feed one person or to create one piece of bread as opposed to 5,000? What makes it magnificent to me is actually not the bigness, but to me, it's the smallness of this miracle. Okay? And what I mean by that is we see a big miracle done today, but we see the resources that the Lord used, and he used very small things to do something very big. And if you follow the work of God in the world, you notice this is his specialty, how to make something big come from something very little. This is different than me and you, okay? Me and you like big things. We like our extra value meals supersized. Okay, we don't like Walmart, we like Super Walmart. And even we don't like that, we don't like grocery store, we like Costco. We like big things, big cars and big trucks and big SUVs, and we like things big, and bigger is better. But God, bigness doesn't impress God. God is the opposite. God likes small things, and God seems to make that his specialty. Okay, and that's what he did today. He didn't use big stuff to make big things. He used small boy with small pieces of bread and small pieces of fish to do something big. And like I said, this is the way God works. I remember a story, remember back in the Old Testament, the story of Gideon, okay? Famous story. Gideon was one of God's people. And God said, we're going to go into battle together, and we're going to beat the bad guys. And the bad guys had a big army. So Gideon got his army ready, and he had 32,000 men ready for war. And God said, we need to narrow that number down. So he kept narrowing down until he got to 300. And God said, okay, you got 300 men now? That's the number that I want. Let's go into battle. And God brought a great victory, not through the 32,000, not through 20,000, but through only 300 people. That's how God likes to work. Do big things through little people or little things. And today's story is no different. Okay? And what we're going to see today is the lesson of how God wants us. Okay, today's lesson has nothing to do with food. Today's lesson has nothing to do with God being able to do miracles. All right, we know God can do miracles. Today's lesson is how God wants to use his disciples and their role in the miracle. And me and you, guess what me and you are? We may not be apostles, but we certainly are disciples. And each one of us who calls ourselves a Christian is a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what we're going to see today is how God wants to take a disciple and do magnificent and wonderful big things through a disciple, no matter how little you may be. It's a story of how God wants to use us in this world. Story starts off, okay, the very beginning. It comes from Luke chapter 9, and it says, "And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done." Just a little context. They had returned from where? Well, we know that they had just returned from their first missionary trip. Okay, that's what the beginning of the chapter talks about. They had just returned from casting out demons and healing the blind and curing the sick and raising the dead and casting out evil spirits. And they returned back after this long trip where they were sent out two by two to preach Christ's name and to prepare his way in every village that he could have possibly gone. And they came back really rejoicing and really happy and probably telling stories. And St. Peter was probably telling St. John, "Hey, you guess what happened when I went into this city of Capernaum? Guess what happened? These demons were there and I signed to the cross and this happened." And St. John said, "Oh, that's nothing compared to what I did and what I saw." And they were really overjoyed. And all they wanted to do, you can imagine their mentality, is just come back and tell their master, "Hey, we did it." You know, to tell their coach, "We did it. We were victorious. We did a good job. We took the training and we did a good job." And that's why the Bible says that they wanted to go away into a private place. But there was a problem. As soon as they went into a private place, the people followed them. Why? Why do you think the people followed them? Well, like I just said, they just did a world tour of healing sick people. Don't think they healed every sick person, so probably people who were healed brought the rest of their family from all over the world and said, "Heal these people too." They just healed the blind. They just cast out demons. You think anyone's going to leave these guys alone? So they tried to get away. They got in a boat, went to the other side of the lake, and guess who they found on the other side of the lake? The whole multitude had followed them. Okay? And what's interesting to note is the way they responded to the people. You'll see two ways that was two responses to the people here, that of our Lord Jesus Christ and that of the disciples. The Lord said, it said what about the Lord? It said he welcomed them, spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who needed healing. He welcomed them, spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and then healed those who needed healing. This is always the way the Lord works, okay? The Lord knows that there's people, and you and I know that there's people hurting around you. And there's people in your life that have problems. And believe me, no matter what you think or what you see, or no matter how much people try to act or how much people try to put on this front or this and that, every single person that you know has problems. Especially the one that you don't like. Especially the one who gets on your nerves. That guy who sits in the cubicle down from you, who's always, you know, who's always got a bad attitude, who's trying to get you in trouble, that guy's got serious problems and he's in need. And then that lady who looks at you and doesn't say hi or says hi and this and that, that one has serious needs. And every single person is needy, okay? Every single person has needs. Just some people hide it better than other people. Some people's needs is on the outside, which is very easy to see. But 90% of the people's problems is not on the outside, it's on the inside. How do I know? Because that's when the Lord saw these needy people. He didn't immediately feed them. He didn't immediately heal them. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. See, that's how the Lord works. He sees the problems of the people and he wants to fix it from the inside out. Okay, he starts to work on the inside of people because he knows that this guy who's got this problem, the real problem is that, you know, they have an insecurity thing, or the real problem is they don't have any love at home, or the real problem is that they suffered a loss when they were 12 years old, or whatever it may be. Now, the disciples do the exact opposite. The disciples said, "Send them away." In your life, let me ask you, there are examples of people in your life that you're probably thinking of right now when I said people around you who are in need. How do you respond to those people? Do you respond as the Lord did by welcoming them and speaking to them about the kingdom of God and seeing how we can help these people in need? Or you do like the disciples did, which is send them away. The point that the Lord is trying to teach us right here is that oftentimes, okay, when he wants to use us and do. He's about to do something great. Right? We haven't gotten to the miracle yet. He's setting up the miracle. A lot of times when there's a great miracle about to happen, oftentimes it comes, it starts off as the needs of the people around you. The people who are next to you who need something, who need healing, who need the kingdom of God, who need hope for tomorrow, who need anything like that. And it's that need that the first thing we have to do is not turn them away, okay? So let's say you say, okay, I want to help the people in need. I don't want to send them away. What are we supposed to do? Well, that takes us to the second step. Once you see the needs of the people, then the next thing you try to do is you try to meet those needs. But as soon as you try to meet the needs of the people, as soon as the disciples tried to meet the needs of the people, they made a quick discovery, which is that as much as they would love to help, that they simply didn't have the resources to do it, right? They didn't have enough bread. They didn't have enough food that could feed all this people. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells them, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. Now, if you didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if this was the only thing you knew in the whole wide world, this is the only time you heard his name, you'd say he's a crazy person. You'd say this is not rational. This is not logical. You're talking feeding 5,000 men plus their women, plus wives and children. So let's say 20,000 people is what was estimated, more than 20,000 people, feeding them right now in no time with absolutely nothing. This isn't today. This isn't where you can just run to the Costco and just pick up, you know, these huge pizzas that can feed hundreds and hundreds of people. This isn't like, you know, where they had grocery stores and deep freezers and things like that. You couldn't order stuff. Even if there was a grocery store that had this kind of food available, where are they going to get the money from? Where do you get the money to feed 5,000 people? Think how much 20,000. Think how much 20,000 people is. All right? You have a Zuma coming of 20, 30 people, and you work for weeks. All right? People take off from church for a weekend just to prepare for 20 people coming over on a Sunday. This is 20,000 people. All right? It's a ridiculous concept. And even if they did somehow come up with the money and they found a place, it's not like they had credit cards. I mean, they need the money in cash. All right, so this was a completely ridiculous, this makes no sense whatsoever. This is something which is completely against logic. But this is what he tells them to do. He says, you give them something to eat, even though you got nothing, even though there's no Costco around, even though there's no nothing around you, you give them something to eat. All right, so let's say we're in the disciples' shoes now, and we are men of faith, okay? So we say, okay, God, we believe. Okay? And we want to do this. We want to feed them. We have no resources, but we believe. We have faith. So we're going to do it. So we have to have a committee. We have to do this the right way. We're going to nominate a subcommittee who's going to be like the engineering committee of this project. All right? And we're going to figure out what's the best way to do this. Okay? What's the best way to organize this mass feeding project? You know, you go back to the Azuma example. You go to some Azumas, if it's small, you sit down at the table and you pass the food and the lady serves and this and that. But if it's a lot of people, you do buffet style, okay? Then if it's a lot of people, you have two stations of buffets, okay? Because you want to make things as efficient, organized as possible. So same thing. He's about to serve a lot of these people. What's the most efficient way? All right, well, let's see. The most efficient way, we don't have enough for the buffet station, so why don't we do it like we did in the Old Testament? Let's be orthodox and traditional. Old Testament, how would God feed all this group of people? Manna from heaven. Isn't that the easiest way? Everyone's sitting down exactly where you are, and the manna is just going to, boom, appear in your lap. Or better, in your hand. You don't even need to move. The manna is just going to appear. The fish and the bread is just going to appear in everyone's hand. We sit down, we relax, you know, and it's an easy process. God says, no, no manna from heaven. Okay, well, how about the angels? Angels are up in heaven, not really doing too much. They have some free time. Why don't the angels go get some food and bring it to the rest of us? God says, no, no angels. Well, how are we going to do this, Lord? Lord says, very simple. You're going to do it. I'm going to make the food, and then you are going to pass it out one by one to each one of the hungry people. Why? What's the Lord trying to teach us here? Why? Why not do it in an easier way? What the Lord wanted to teach us here is that, like I said in the beginning, people got needs. All right? There's lots of people around you who are hurting, who are suffering, who have all kinds of needs. And how does God want to meet those needs? Through you. Through the people on an individual level, okay? Even though this was a big miracle, it was done individually. Each one was handed a fish and a piece of bread. Each one had their own personal fish sandwich, all right? It wasn't the kind of thing which was done in a poof kind of a thing. It's the same thing the Lord wants to do with me and you. Sometimes we see the needs of the people around us. We say, God should send something to help this person, or God fix this person. God is sending. Do you know what he's sending? He's sending you, and he's sending me. So God is alive in the world, and God is working, and God is trying to bring peace and trying to help people fix their needs. And the person that he's trying to use, is me and you. But don't we have to be like, are these perfect people that the Lord was using? Don't we have to be like a really high spiritual level to help other people? Well, the disciples here, were they perfect? What kind of people did the Lord use here to meet the people's needs? He used people who were tired, who were cranky, who were grumpy, who were busy, who had just come back from a long trip and just wanted to rest and just relax and take a nap. And that's all they wanted to do. And those are the people that God was able to use. What I'm saying is, he uses people who don't have the resources to be able to get it done. Poor fishermen to feed all these people. There's an important lesson here for me and you. Said in the beginning that people got needs, and we want to meet those needs. Well, oftentimes, when it comes to meeting the needs of people, the biggest excuse that we say is, well, you know what? I don't have the resources. You know what? I don't have the time. If I had more time, I don't have the time to help. Or I don't have the knowledge to help. Or, you know what, I'd like to give more, but I don't have enough money to help. Your mistake is thinking that God wants you to serve in big ways. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't want big things. God wants little things, and then he wants to turn it into a big thing. Okay? Look at it from this perspective. A computer, which is very powerful and can do amazing things like connect people across the world and send stuff and do all this kinds of stuff in milliseconds, is made up of a bunch of little parts. And if there's just one tiny, itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny little part that's missing from your little computer, it isn't going to work, okay? But that little part can do amazing things. You'd be surprised how much a little part can do in a computer. You'd be surprised if I got, like, a telescope that can, like, see the moon, all right? How much a little screw in that telescope can make a big difference. Well, that's what I'm trying to say for me and you. God wants us not to be the telescope. God wants us not to be the computer. He wants me to be the little screw that's holding two parts together. And I'm telling you that without that screw, the computer wouldn't work, or the telescope wouldn't work, or anything like that. This little boy here, okay, to me, people ask me sometimes, who's your favorite character in the Bible? Do you know who my favorite character in the Bible is? It's this little boy who has no name. He's my favorite saint or my favorite character, and I think he's an example for all of us because he shows that little things can make a big difference. And oftentimes, before I give a sermon like this, or sometimes when people come ask me for advice, or I'm in the middle of problems, sometimes I go to God and say, you know what, God? I don't have that much to say, and I can't think of anything. But God, I know a very, very little bit. Take that little bit, and just like you took the little boys, fish and bread, you took that little bit and fed lots of people, take the little bit that I give you and feed lots of people. Take the little bit that's in my head and somehow make it useful to someone who's out there. Take the little bit that I can offer, because I can't offer big things, all right? Take the little bit and make it useful for someone. So what it shows us here is that the little resources that we have, when we give it to Christ, can make a big difference. And that gets us to the third point, that you got people in need, you got me who's got enough resources, but when I give it to him, he makes big things happen because he does have big resources. Just like I was saying a minute ago, if you've ever said, I would give if I had more money, or I would serve more if I had more time, in essence, what you are doing is promising God something that doesn't exist. All right? You're saying, God, if I had more time, I would do more things. Where does more time exist? If anyone can discover where this is not a true thing. This is something that exists only in people's mind. There's no such thing as more time. And God doesn't want you to give more time. He wants you to give the time that you had. The disciples would have said, you know what, God? If we had, 1,000 pieces of bread, then we'd love to feed all these people. God says, I don't want you to feed him with 1,000 pieces of bread. I want you to feed him with the piece of bread that you got, the 5 that you got. I don't want you to tell me that you'd give if you won the lottery. I know you'd give if you won the lottery. I want you to give if you don't win the lottery. I want you to give just if you get a bonus. I want you to give just if you get a paycheck. I want you to give just with the little bit that's in your wallet. I know that you would do all these magnificent things if God granted that you didn't have to work and all that stuff, but you do have to work, and I want you to give despite that fact that you're in college or that you work or anything like that. So what God wants to do is, like I said, take the little things and make them into big things. And he does it by doing three things real quick right here. When our Lord took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and then he used it to satisfy. Okay? So when we give God the little, he blesses, he breaks, then he satisfies. First thing he does is he blesses. And the blessing is the most important thing. Because with the blessing, 5 pieces feed 20,000 people. Without the blessing, 20,000 couldn't feed nothing. All right? If, and King David tells us in the Psalms, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. If, no matter what it is that you are doing in life, if you don't have the blessing of God, it's never going to be successful. And by the same token, no matter how little it is that you do in life or how little it is that you have, if you do have the blessing of God, it can make the biggest difference in the world. I hope and pray that we really covet the blessing of God in our life. And I hope that you realize the importance of that blessing. And believe me, there's nothing in life worth losing that blessing. Because like I said, if you have nothing in life, but you have the blessing of God in your family, in your life, in your work, in your whatever, things will be okay. But by the same token, you can see examples out there in Hollywood or in sports or in anywhere, people who got all the resources in the world, but if you don't have the blessing of God, it does you no good. Okay? So first is that he blesses. But then with blessing comes he breaks. What does that mean that he breaks? That God never blesses anything unless he first breaks it. And breaks it here, talking about brokenness. All right? Let me put it to you this way. If God wants to make fruit from a seed, the first thing that seed's got to do, the Bible teaches us, is go down and die. If God wants to rise from the dead on the third day, first thing he's got to do is go up on a cross and suffer and be killed. So if God wants to bring forth great things, first thing he's got to do is break it. Example I always think of is the woman with the perfume jar. Okay, great scented perfume that she came and she wanted to pour out all over Christ and fill the room with the aroma. But how would that perfume come? By first breaking the thing. Same thing with me and you. God wants to bless us, but the blessing, with the blessing comes brokenness. All right, and I'm telling you that a lot of times people say the idea of I'm too weak to serve or I'm not good enough to serve, that never works. That's never the case. You know what 99% of the problem is? It's not that you're too weak to do something for God. It's that you're too strong to do something for God. Or you think you're too strong. Or you are too big in your own mind. Well, what God wants to do before he blesses is he wants to break that thing down and show you that your resources really, in the end, are not that big. And then he can add his blessing. And when you have the blessing and you have the brokenness, what it leads to is the leftover, is the satisfaction. All right? That when God blessed and broke, not only were the people filled, it says that each one ate as much as he wanted, but then each one, in addition, there was leftovers and all that. Okay? That's always the way it works for God. We never give anything to God. All right? Whenever it is that we give, he always gives us back 100-fold. All right? Whenever it is that we give a little bit, he gives us back so much more and satisfies us and gives us leftover bread in addition to that. So that's why, if we look at this story, like I said, this little boy can be the greatest example of what it is that we should have in life. And our Lord taught the disciples a very important lesson today. That number one is that people around you are in need, and there's needs of all kinds of people around you that are bigger than you. And this isn't even in addition to your own needs, but today we'll focus on the needs of others. And then, if you want to fill those needs, you probably don't have enough resources to do it, but that's okay. That if you give God the little bit that you have, he will bless, he will break, and then he will use that to satisfy thousands upon thousands of people in the world. And glory be to God forever. Amen.